Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
We psyched you out how you thought Pastor Henry was going to preach. We thought, that's one way of keeping you here. But guess what? You got me. Once again, blessings to all you fathers. Blessings. We get one day a year that we celebrate fathers, and yet we know that it's a year-long process of being a father. And so it's nice that we can take that one day to honor. Same thing with moms. You know, we give Mother's Day, and we give them that place of honor. But remember, that all the other days of the year are also for you to honor your parents, honor those that that have been dear to your life, that have given you the best years of their life, so that today you would be sitting here enjoying the presence of God. Here we go. One of the things that when we honor the Father's Days and the Mother's Days, I bet most of you don't realize that there's a Grandparents' Day. We kind of get left on the side, you know what I mean? It's like, you've done your job. You know, we don't have to worry about you. But, grandparents are very important to families. And so this September the 13th, all you little grandkids out there, better remember your grandparents. I've got 9 of them, and I love them dearly. I have fun with them, and I've always told people that if I'd have known they were so much fun, I'd have had them first. You know, that would have worked. And it is kind of a cool deal with grandkids, you know? It's like we did our job as parents whenever we raised our own kids, and of course, with that comes a lot of responsibility to do it right. As a grandparent, all we have to worry about is just feeding them and loving them, and then we throw them back at mom again, you know? So so that's the fun part of being able to have family. But all reality, everything, you know, having one of my biggest blessings is having my family surrounding me. I love that part. It's been something that my life has been blessing me with. We have good relations. We love each other. I just love when they're around and to see them interact with each other. It's not always that they're interacting with me. It's when I see them interacting with each other, and you know you've done something right somewhere. You know that they're able to talk with each other, laugh with each other. You're able to see their smiles, even if they're playing their video games. That's okay. You know, that's what they enjoy. But it's a blessing to see when families come together, and I hope that today's message kind of encourages some of us to reach out, maybe to those that. Maybe for a lot of us, it's not possible for us to be around some of our daughters and sons and grandkids because they're just not close to us. But, you know, there's a marvelous device that they came up with. It's called a telephone. And a lot of these guys that got this thing where you put your face on it and they can see you, you can do that. So there's FaceTimes or Skypes, whatever it is. But anyway, just to remind you that if you haven't touched someone you love lately, today would be a good day. Today would be a good day. So what I want to do here is, the other point I wanted to make is that a lot of the parts that I see with family is that you see them grow, and you see them as those little babies that you grew up with are now having their own babies. And maybe them already thinking about their own babies. So it's kind of neat to see as the family grows and as you see still the continuation of of the love that they have for each other. But what I want to do today is tell you a story of another father who loves his family. And so I think you know who I'm talking about. So what better place to start than Genesis 1:26 through 31. And what I want to bring out today is that, of course, we've all read the story of creation. Even when we were little guys, that's one of the places that we take our kids. Right, Shirley? You got to teach them about creation. And so what I want to do today, though, is to give it another kind of a little different twist to what we might have thought of creation. And, you know, in the past, we've always kind of seen creation as being that time when God's just all-powerful and let there be light, and kind of like a Moses-type Charlton Heston thing, you know what I mean, where he's speaking to all these things. And so it is true. He's our creator. He is majestic. He is all-powerful. And so, but what I want to do here today is to look at this in a different way, is that you think about it, and we're going to start on day 6 of creation. And for the last 5 days, God has been creating. But you notice that on day 6, that's when he creates man. And that picture would be better realized if you think about maybe like an expectant father. You know, you prepare every little thing that you possibly can because this new life is going to come into your midst. And so that majestic part of him now turns into just a daddy waiting for this wonderful thing to happen. And so he's been preparing. It's going to be a celebration. And there's an excitement. There's an excitement that he has because he wants everything to be perfect. Everything to be perfect for when that time comes that he creates that special guest of honor that he's done. And you see that all those other 5 days, he's done everything that he possibly could before man is created. He wanted all things to be set before man, before he put man into this world. And so it's really a good picture of God's grace. Everything that we would ever need, he provides by his grace. It's all there. Man did not have to do anything except come into this world and just enjoy the fruits of what God had provided for them. So I want to read, starting with verse 26. And it says, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, and over the livestock and all of the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." And so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And so before I go on, I want to make a comment on that God already had angels. There was things going on around the world, but he wanted somebody that would be just like him. And as we remember that in John 14:9, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, you know, if you see me, you see the Father. And so sometimes we seem to think of just this spirit that's out there. And if he's saying that he created us in his image, in his likeness, not only might we look like him now, we saw Jesus. Now, what was Jesus like? You know, you see a lot of the stories. I really picture Jesus as being this fun-loving guy. Fun-loving, you know, we get this image of him that, you know, he's kind of speaking to all the people, the religious people, and he's saying all these things that make him seem like, you know, I think people had fun with him. You know, he liked parties. He liked walking. He enjoyed the people that were around him, and that's why they were drawn to him. There was just the beautiful thing about him, and people were drawn to who he was. And not only because of that godly spirit that he had, just as a man, just as a guy. And I think about it, he was a man's man. I bet he had muscles, and I bet he had a suntan. And I mean, he worked with wood. He was just a man's man, but he loved women just as much as he loved men. And so when you look at this time of God creating, and to think that when he created Adam and Eve, they were to be just like him, his character, his way of being. So it's hard to imagine that you would think of God, you know, laughing with Adam or whatever it was. But hey, he says that he was, you see me, Jesus says, you see the Father. And I saw many times where Jesus was enjoying life. And so let me see where I'm at here. We'll continue on with 28. And God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every plant for food. And it was so. And I want to stop there. God gave man dominion over everything that he had created. He was just saying, I did it. I did it for you. It's all yours. He gave them power to oversee this great creation of him. What a trust, right? What a trust to say, I did this, but I'm giving it to you. And I trust that you're going to do well with it. The other thing that I want to point out here is that God created something out of nothing. And yet, when you think about it, for God, he had to have had a vision. He had to have had an image of what he might want this thing to look like. Today, we see a dog. That's a dog, you know. But there was no such animal at that time until he created that thing. And so as these first 5 days came along and he's creating the oceans and the rivers and whatever it is, already in his mind, in his vision, he has a plan how everything would fit. He knows how everything would come together. And so once he would have that, then comes the real power, just his word, let there be. And there it was. He spoke everything that he foresaw into existence. And it wasn't like, let's see how this one works. Let's see how this works. And if it doesn't, well, I can handle it. I'll do something else. There was no plan B for God. Whatever he said, whatever he spoke, it was. And so when God spoke it, it was perfect. There was no more. There was no more. And so that's the way it was even when he created mankind, when he created us here today. He saw us, and as we know, from that day, he could see what's going on today, right? And so everything that he saw, he didn't have any regrets of what he did. Everything was good. So now I want to read verse 31. And it says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And that's a part that I really want to bring out to you. That includes you today. You know, if God tells you that you are very good, guess what? You're very good. And there is nothing that could come against that statement, because whoever else tells you different, who are you going to believe? Your brother or sister, your neighbor down the road, or are you going to believe what God says about you? You are very good. He has put the greatest stamp of approval that he could ever place on you, on mankind. And so one of the things that I wanted to bring out is that, you know, just as God speaks things into existence, just as he did at creation, have you ever wondered what your words do? You know, he's given us, just as it says, he gave us dominion. Now, we lost it for a while, but he gave us dominion over this earth. And so a lot of times we take for granted the things that come forth from our mouth. And just as we can create positive, we can also create negative. And so when we speak something to our son or daughter or our fathers or mothers, whatever, whomever you're speaking to, those words that come forth from our mouth can either tear somebody up or build them up. So you be very careful how you use your words and how you speak to those that love you and that you love, because it is so important. If you believe that God has granted us all that he ever had through his son Jesus, then you've got to remember that you got a lot of power in what you say and what you do. There is no higher compliment than for him to say, it was very good. Everything he did was very good. And what happens on the next, on the seventh day? The seventh day he gets up and he looks and he looks at everything and he says, man, there's nothing more for me to do. It's perfect. My creation is perfect. And so that's how he can rest. You know, you can imagine God, you know, when it says that on the seventh day he rested. Can you imagine God getting tired? He didn't get tired. Rest means complete. He completed his perfect creation, which includes us here. And so he was able to rest. Nothing more to be done. Nothing more that needed change, or as I said earlier, well, if that didn't work, let's try this, you know. Again, no plan B. So I want to go on now to Genesis 3:8. And of course, by now, we all know that right after all this happens, and when we say right after, you know, we don't really know how long it was from the time that that God's creation and the time that Adam and Eve blew it. You know, we don't know that time lapse. You know, it seems like, well, it's the next chapter. So I guess it might have been the next day. definitely not true. We don't know the amount of time that it took. And my thought is that it was quite a while. And so I want to read what, starting with 8, says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called the man, "Where are you?" And that's all where I want to stop at. Just the fact that he says, we heard God in the garden, that tells me they weren't like afraid of something new. It sounds to me like that's kind of where he met them. You know, he met them in the garden. They were able to walk around and enjoy the streams and sit under a tree maybe and have some of the fruit that they could have. You know, it was a time where man could just spend with God. That was God's desire in creating him to begin with. He wanted somebody that he could relate with, somebody that he could walk and talk and just enjoy being with him. And so we were created in his image and for his pleasure. So when you look at that, you know, I was thinking when I was getting my notes together, and you know, you always get books, you know, many books that say, "What is the meaning of life? Why am I here?" You know, there it is. We're here for his pleasure. For God's pleasure. That's the meaning of life. Spend time with him. Do what he's asked us to do when we need to. That comes in there. But what supersedes that is just our time that we get to enjoy his presence. And so if anybody ever asks you what the meaning of life is, now you know what to say back. But now, after all those beautiful times, are hindered as Adam and Eve hide from somebody that loved them, somebody that their creator, their father. Now they're hiding. And so kind of my question for today is, how many of us today are running away and hiding from God because of something we're doing, something that we know is displeasing to him? So the question is, for some of you, what makes you hide from God? You know that even the things of the past can keep us away. Things that God's already forgiven you for, it's already gone. And yet, we haven't let go of those things. So even those things that we think have gone by the wayside, if they come into your midst, if you still think about it, if you still have a person somewhere in your life that continues to be a part of your taking your peace away or that takes your joy away, if that's part of what goes in your life, there's still some work that God wants to do within you. So now, I asked Abe to show a picture of his most favorite person. So I think it's a picture of me, right, Abe? Let's see. Oh, man. Hey, we got the no hair thing, right? I thought it was going to be me, but I know. What better way to get a smile on everybody's face than to show a picture like this? And of course, you know that it. Yeah, he's already out there. Yeah, that's me. Hello. That is the newest member of a show church. And the reason I wanted to put this up is when you look at a picture or this particular picture, what do you see? There's so many things that come to our minds when we look at a beautiful picture like that. He's perfect over there, see? But you see innocence. You see purity. You see joy. You see trust, and there's a future. There's a future in that child. And, you know, we don't know what his life is going to turn out, but I tell you what, we can sure have input into what he can do and who we will be. And it's going to take mama and daddy and grandmas and all of us to feed into this child, because God has a wonderful future set for this child. Thank you, Abe. If I keep that picture up there, he's going to keep admiring himself over there. No, thank you, Abe, for letting us use this picture. So the point behind this is that here is a picture of things to come. And to think that every adult that's sitting here, and even those that are not today, we were there one day. We all started at this place. And for some, maybe we made a bad decision and we were led in a wrong path. All that future that God had set out for us, maybe we took a little detour here, but he loved us just at that, where we were that way. He loves us today. But sometimes we make bad decisions, and sometimes the consequences sometimes can be devastating. So the good part is that for most of you, or I shouldn't say most of you, I would have to say all of you, you made another decision. A smarter decision. You chose to receive Jesus and allow him to lead you in the right path. So that when we look in the mirror, we don't see the flaws of our past, that we see what God sees, and that is the reflection of his perfect Son. That's how he sees us. And when he sees us, he says, just like at creation, very good. It is very good. And so each one of us has that place that even though we do stray, even though we do things that maybe are not quite up to what we should be doing, that God will meet us and he will walk with us and that he will help us through those times. And today, because of Jesus, and he gave us his Holy Spirit that dwells in us, we have the presence of the living God within us. And I want to stop there, because sometimes We get to a place like that. Yeah, the Holy Spirit lives in me. I have the power to do this. Do we really understand the fullness of what that statement means? We have the presence of the living God within us. And sometimes we do it so nonchalantly that, I receive the Holy Spirit. I know Jesus. Oh my gosh, if we really realize what has gone on when we made that decision to allow Jesus to dwell within us. It's something that sometimes we limit what he wants to do with us because we don't have an understanding. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. Starting with verse 9. And I know you've all read this and we love it. And it says, it is written that what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. And these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. And I wanted to read that because that kind of sums up what I just said. Our little pea-brain minds, no matter how spiritual you get or think you are, we don't have any idea of the things that God wants to do with us. There's not enough things that he has said before us that he wants to do with us. And even when we step out and we go, wow, this is good, God. And he's going, man, have I got more? Have I got more? But we've already got to this place and we're cool now. You know, hey, I'm ministering in this area, or I'm doing whatever it is. You know, I'm praying an hour and 5 minutes now instead of an hour, you know. Whatever it is that we feel that we made an accomplishment, and he's saying, that's good, son. That's good, daughter. But have I got more? And we decide that maybe that's it, you know, surely. But this thing says that we haven't seen, we haven't heard of what he wants to do with us. And so I invite you today to do not place limits on God. Look at the next tomorrow with the greater things that could be. And you're going, yeah, maybe my brother, or maybe my friend, but not me. You know, I'm already aged in years, so why would he want to use me? I've already done this, and this, so I've done my part. What if he has so much more to do with you and you don't give him that chance? So please, don't stop where you are. Don't convince yourself that you're done. When we are born again, we give the Holy Spirit place to change us from the inside out. So I'm going to continue to read this, okay? It says, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But you have the mind of Christ. There's another statement there. The presence of the living God is here. He has given us the mind of his Son that he loves, that he loved so much that he gave him up for us. And we have all these things, and yet we still, again, we don't have that understanding, and we're not going to have that understanding unless we allow him to have full, total domain of our spirit, submission to who he is, and take ourselves out of it. When we're born again, we give the Holy Spirit place to change us from the inside out. He gives us spiritual understanding so that we may evaluate and rearrange the values, behaviors, desires of who we were. We're able to respond to his grace now. We are equipped with the knowledge of Christ, and those things that were previously appealing in our life no longer are. We are a new creation truly reborn with a fresh start in life. And that little picture you saw up there, that's you again. What a neat thing to think that all these things that maybe when we stepped out of line and did something that did displease God, that when you finally say, Lord, I need you. I give my life to you. I surrender. I've tried it my way. It didn't work. Let's do it your way. And when you come to that place that you truly submit yourself and give yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to come in, that chance comes back and you could start. Now that you've seen what's not good, and you can say, hey, you know, he sees me as this little child, as this little baby, innocent, full of joy, enjoying what God has prepared for me. And to think that, and to think also that this time you're not going to do it on your own. This time you're going to have help to guide you, to teach you, to show you. And so those things that might have been a hindrance to your walk, if you allow the Spirit, it won't be anymore. How many things can you imagine that we would have done at one point that today is not important? Those things that were so important to me back when I was doing the things I shouldn't have been doing. You know, when people would tell me that, you know, I had people tell me, come to church, come to, you know, you need God. And yeah. You know, well, when I'm ready. And because the things that I was doing at that time, I was having fun. I was enjoying life. And I couldn't hardly imagine myself giving up those things to be doing this. And guess what? I can't even remember me back then. I don't know who that guy was. I don't know who that was. New creation. That's exactly it. We come and we start all over, but this time here, even if we stray a little bit, but we will not fall. Even if we trip a little bit, we will not fall because he's there to pick us up. He's there to guide us. He's there to show us. And that's one thing that we didn't have back in the day when life was fun. No, it's more fun now. Let's go to Galatians 5:22. And I know you've all seen this, read this, and it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that's all I want to read. Because that, just as it says, the fruit of the Spirit. That says that if we have the Spirit in us, that should be what's coming forth from us. And how many of us today can even look at one of those things and go, I don't have joy. I don't have peace. There's things that are going on that I just don't have that. And yet, if the Spirit is being allowed to flourish within us and feed us and nurture us and give us those things that bring forth that fruit, we should be seeing that. It's not a, well, I got one of them, you know what I mean? This should be our life, flourishing, setting fruit for that blesses the people around us. So if you don't find yourself here, we need to go to God and say, what am I missing? Why aren't I having this fruit? Because as we live by the Spirit, we are able to produce good fruit because we abide in Christ. The fruit of the Spirit are byproducts of being in the presence and living for God. It's just a byproduct. It's going to happen. If you're spending time with God, if you're devoting your day to Him, if you're acknowledging that His Holy Spirit is in charge and leading you, then all this stuff is just going to be a byproduct. It's just going to happen. You don't have to try to be joyful. You don't have to try to not get angry or be patient. It's just going to be there because you're spending time with Jesus. You're allowing the Holy Spirit to have His way with you. Today, we have a Holy Spirit that communes with us. He guides us. He teaches us. And we know that our day does not consist of chance, but of divine leading. Even in the small things that sometimes we take for granted. You know, how many times, you know, do we notice those things that you're going, oh, driving around the parking lot or something, you say, oh, Lord, give me a parking spot. Guess what? There's a parking spot, you know? Oh, Lord, move the traffic out of the way because I need to get in the freeway. All the traffic goes back and you're just right on there. You know, there are things, you know, even as dumb as that sounds, but it's not. It's His favor, His love for you that the Holy Spirit wants to bless you. And so even those, if you want to call them small things, but they're not because He's showing you how much He cares for you. So if He can care for you in those places, like what I just mentioned, what about those times when you're coming to Him and you're saying, oh, my son or my daughter, you know, not in a good place, Lord. Reach out to them, touch them. And the next thing you hear is a phone call maybe, and Mom, guess what happened, you know? Bless their finances. And the next thing you hear is, guess what? I don't know where it came from, but I got some money for whatever, you know. You see evidence of that Holy Spirit continuing to bless our lives if we give Him that place. And sometimes, like I said earlier, we limit those things that He wants to do for us because we're not embracing Him. We're not allowing Him, or maybe we're just not even noticing, you know. Imagine, think of those days when you didn't have a Holy Spirit, when you didn't have that presence of God to bring you the peace, that you didn't have that presence of God to just to talk to. You ever notice sometimes my daughter was telling me the other day that she was wanting to hear a song on the radio and she couldn't remember what it was. So she was listening to Caleb. But anyway, she just was praying, Lord, I don't remember what it was, but I want to hear it. The song came on, you know? Simple things. So if He blesses us with simple things, start noticing the big things because He has got some big things for you. Your eyes haven't seen. Your ears haven't heard. You know, today, having the presence of the Holy Spirit is a normal thing. It's just part of my day. And I don't know if you guys have ever noticed, but He lets me know when He's really moving in me with tears. I know you haven't noticed that. And I'm glad I've got another guy in this church that's giving me some competition over there. You know, God can manifest His Holy Spirit in us any way He wants. And I know for a lot of us, you know, I was taught, you're a man. You don't cry. Guys aren't supposed to cry. I do. And I'm okay. All right, one more time. So 2 Corinthians 2, starting with verse 14 and 15. Okay. And it says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession, and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. And we are, to God, the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." And there's so much more to this scripture. But the part I want to bring up in that is when it says the aroma. Because of Jesus, you carry his sweet aroma. And you can take this literally, or you can take it spiritually. It's all related. But I wasn't one, but I've known I knew a lady that would had that gift, that she would be able to smell an aroma, a sweet aroma, at times when she was in a church, at times when we were in prayer. So there truly is a physical aroma that can take place. Of course, God can do anything he wants, right? But the picture of that is that aroma is that it's just a part of who we are because we are representing Jesus. We carry a sweet aroma. And so when you walk anywhere, guess what? His presence comes with you. And you think about it, whenever Jesus went anywhere, walked into a place, did not the atmosphere change? You know, people, healings took off, miracles happened, people were grasping him. He was a superstar. And so it wasn't like he walked in and somebody going, "Yeah, there's Jesus." He walked in or wherever he was, whether he was teaching or preaching or touching people, people noticed him. And guess what? Why are we not being noticed? As you say, that any atmosphere must change. So when you really look at it, it's like the word says that as he is, so are we. So we ought to be able to walk into an atmosphere of any kind and change that atmosphere to that where the Holy Spirit wants to take us. When you do where you are, no one will meet you and not be changed. Just because of who you are and what is within you and how you present that what is within you, you might have just said hello to somebody and smiled at him or whatever. Trust that that person will never be the same. Why? Because you touched them. But it isn't John touching them. It's that Holy Spirit within me. And so always trust that even if it's one word or one smile, that person will never be the same. You are a child of God, creator of all. This is who you are. I titled my sermon today, Who Are You? Do you know who you are? And that's what I want you to look at as I begin to close my time with you, is that you carry that Holy Spirit within you. You are a child of God, creator of all. You are highly favored and meant to prosper and be of good health. The light of the world dwells in you and shines through you. And you are placed here in God's perfect timing for His service. Not 50 years ago, not 100 years ago. He needed you for His service from that birthday when you were like that little baby and you were born. He said, this young man, this young girl, this is His right timing, the perfect timing, my timing. And so you are here, not by accident. You are here because you're supposed to be here. And so as you, I thought about, I could make a list of all the reasons that you could just praise God for who you are because of Him. But I'll leave that to you. You can go and start looking at more reasons why you are who you are. And that's because of Jesus. And as Jesus is, so are we. So when the enemy reminds us of who we were, just remember to tell him who you are because of Jesus. Amen. Don't listen to those things of the past. You're not that person anymore. And even if yesterday something happened that you're not very proud of, you're not that person. Because today God's given you that place to walk in a better light, to receive forgiveness. He's already forgiven you. It just, you need to forgive yourself. And so to end my sermon, what I'm going to ask you to do as the worship begins, I'm going to ask you to stand, please, if you can stand. And when you think about this thing, you think, what could, you know, here's our Heavenly Father, the giver of all things. And what could you give that Father? He has everything. But what could you give Him? But this is Father's Day, right? It'd be, and every day should be Father's Day, but what can we give Him? And so what I really, when I prayed about this, I felt that God wants to bring forgiveness and restoration to broken relationships. And today is that day. If there's someone that you are not where you should be, that today, whether it's a son or a daughter or a brother, I felt because of fathers, that's what led me to this. I think there's some fathers that need to talk to their sons or daughters, and some sons and daughters that need to talk with the moms and dads. But whatever it is, whatever role you find yourself in today, it's relationship. It is relationship that He wants to do. So what more would a father that has everything want? Is to see his kids relating, laughing, smiling, just like he was in that garden when he first created everyone. And that's what he wants for us today. He wants those things that have been hindering our love for each other to speak forgiveness to them, receive forgiveness from them, allow him to restore. And sometimes things have hurt so much that you're going, nah, I can't go there. Well, at least pray this and say, Father, make me willing to be willing. Because sometimes we're not ready, but he'll wait. So as I pray, I'm going to ask that you pray your own prayers for whomever that may be. And if you're in the perfect, great standing with everybody and your family, your friends, well, just bless that too, okay? So, Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your place, Lord, in our lives. I thank you that your Holy Spirit never leaves us where we are, Lord. Every day is a new day, Lord. Every day we get a second chance, Lord, when we mess up. And so today, Lord, as we put our request to you, Lord, as we declare that we wish to speak forgiveness to those that have hurt us, and Lord, that those that have hurt, that we've hurt, Lord, that somehow you would minister to them, Lord, that you would set the right time for us to speak with them, Lord. And that, Lord, those relationships that have been hindered, Lord, that today, you would bring together, Lord. We want to bless you, Father, with unity. We want to bless you with love pouring from us, the fruit, Lord, of our spirit. Good things, Lord, because you're a good God. So thank you, Lord, and bless especially the fathers today, Lord, as they go about their day. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.